Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Edge with April Mahoney. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And oh my God, I've been waiting for this, because this is another media mogul here down in South Australia. This is Simone Douglas. Prue Blackmore is her mother. You know, I'd be talking about Prue all the time, having me riding on the back of that dragon. So I can only imagine what she has had you do during the course of your lifetime. You are a very, very prominent force there in the media world down in South Australia. Everybody knows you. You're on everybody's pages. You've got two podcasts. You are very heavily invested in BNI. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the BNI there versus the BNI here, because it is a global organization. Yeah. You're the CEO of Social Media AOK. And you are now the publican. I teased her about that. You know, we say Ken on the end of stuff, we talk a Republican, and I don't think she's a Republican down there in Australia. But she's the publican of the Duke of Brunswick Hotel. What does that look like? And a whole lot more. Thank you so much for being here with me, Simone. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited. Thanks for having me on, April.
Absolutely. So start with your story. How did you just get involved in so many things, and how did being a media personality draw you in?
I think it's not a short story. So I used to fix broken hotels in my 20s. So I did that for about 9 years, turning around sales, catching the thieves, fixing the marketing. And then I got out of that. And that was actually mum's fault, so Prue Blackmore's fault. So while I was on maternity leave from running pubs, she wanted to start a college, a registered training organisation here. And my mum, she's lovely, but she doesn't do bureaucracy at all. So I did all of their...
No, she doesn't. I learned that real quick.
Yeah. So I helped her set up the college with all of its registrations and licensing and things. And from there, got my diploma in transpersonal counselling. So I had my own counselling practice for a while, and then started Social Media AOK 9 years ago now, on a wing and a prayer and a credit card, as you do when you're starting a brand new business.
That's right.
And yeah, and then I found BNI when that business was about 3 months old, and the rest is history. And then I found the pub by accident when I was looking for office space for the social media agency. So I think I just really enjoy connecting people to people for mutual benefit. And I think there's not enough of that happens in the world. And if we all spent our days doing that and helping people, you'd be amazed how many opportunities just turn up on the fly.
You know, but it's the all about me. And I don't know, after this COVID experience, I don't know how people can still live like that. It's not all about you, brains. Believe and trust. You know, you may have come through that portal singular, but you got to live with the world and, you know, with your likes and your dislikes. So let's talk a little bit about BMI. Tell me about what the BMI there in Australia's mission, purpose, and focus is. And I'll tell you a little bit about what I know about the BMI here.
Yeah, sure. So Business Network International is a global organization, and it's a franchise model. So as an executive director, I have a region that I look after. So I have 181 members in my region across 7 chapters, and they meet every week to generate business for each other through referrals. So they spend a lot of time getting to know each other and each other's dreams and hopes and goals and how they can help each other. And then they actively look for ways to introduce each other to their ideal clients. So we have a philosophy here in Adelaide North, which is my region, which is every member is family to us. So you don't always like your family, but you always want the best for your family, and you put yourself out to make it happen. And so that's how we work here. The philosophy of BNI globally is givers gain. So if I give business to the members of my chapter in return, they'll want to give business to me. So it's something that aligns really closely with my personal values, and that's how I ended up getting so involved.
Well, you are very involved because I watch you in the meetings and everybody is just sitting on the edge of their seat, hanging on to every word because you're a subject matter expert. You know how to, you know how to edit and filter and you know how to pivot. And that's what people don't know how to do. It's very similar to what's going here, BNI. Here, I've been to a couple meetings, but they have, some of the chapters have a very exclusive criteria, like there can only be one plumber. There can only be one construction worker. There can only be one accountant. And then that way, you know, it's fair and equitable to everyone in the group. But they are very, very conscientious. They come with their leads. They're listening for leads. They're listening for opportunities to make you bigger, better, and brighter. So I love the organization. And I like that it works with men and women, you know, because I'm going to tell you, Brains, I'm a woman, but I ain't all pro woman. I like men too. And I like for them to be able to work and have opportunities without having their head cut off.
Yeah.
You know, and then also the youth, there's an opportunity to really be trailblazers and set a path for young entrepreneurs, these millennials that have these bright ideas but don't know how to implement them. Or senior citizens that have had very successful businesses, but now they find themselves bored with nothing to do, they can pour back into groups and organizations like BNI. So now let's talk about your work in the media.
Yeah.
What you telling folks? What y'all talking about?
I do a range of different things in the media. So over the pandemic, we convened a Hospo Owners Collective, which is a group of 110 hospitality business owners. And so I was the spokesperson for them, which meant that every time there were restrictions announced or impacts on the industry, I tend to end up on all of the news channels here and in the paper, just basically advocating for the industry. And we were actually really successful in getting restrictions, capacity restrictions for licensed venues eased. By staging a fairly large visual protest. So we created this really great photo opportunity with all of these hospitality business owners. And thankfully, the powers that be over here eased restrictions the next day. And that was actually against the advice of the health department here. But they took into account the economic impact and how many jobs were going to be lost if we didn't make a change. So I talked to the media about that a lot. I talk about networking. What else do I talk about? Just, you know, how to be good in business and how to tell your story effectively. So one of the things a lot of business owners and even people struggle with is they don't know how to capture the interesting points of their story in a way that gets somebody else's attention. So I spend a lot of time talking about that, which is, you know, something you would have spent your lifetime doing really in the media yourself, is, you know, distilling a story down to sound bites.
Exactly. And finding, again, what is interesting to other people.
Yeah.
Talk about networking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a beast when it comes to networking. I can, baby, I can sweep a room like a Swiffer. However, I'm very selective. You know, I'm not in there just to collect a bunch of business cards.
Yeah.
I'm in there to provide, you know, information and to get information. But I'm also there to listen because there's a lot of people that are talking. You want to be a good listener. Give us some of your great tips and techniques for being a great networker.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think number one, you always have to put the relationship ahead of the sale and make sure they understand that the people that you meet are going to be sold to at that event by pretty much everybody that they meet. So if you're the one person that isn't actually in selling mode, you're more likely to start the conversation. And that's really all you're doing at a networking event, is starting the conversation. It's all going to come down to what your follow-up is after that as to how successful you are in building that relationship. Ask interesting questions and ask to listen and understand rather than asking to answer. So often we make the mistake of, you know, someone's talking to us in an event, we're just trying to think of what we're going to say next, as opposed to actually getting, you know, really involved and interested in what they're doing. You know, my favorite one is once I know what someone's done, it's like, well, what's the most unusual thing that you've had to do in the context of your job? So, you know, this one time I was at a quality professionals conference. So these are lots of really dry stats orientated people that are, you know, interested in auditing and quality control systems. And I said to this gentleman, oh, okay, so when you're auditing quality control systems, who is it, what's the most interesting thing you've ever done? And he's like, no one's ever asked me that. And I said, well, what's the answer? He goes, well, I once audited a snake venom extraction company.
Okay, that's pretty interesting.
I was like, that's pretty interesting. I'm like, that's amazing. So there would be a whole secondary set of risk profiles that he had to look at. So I was asking him about what those risk profiles look like. And within 5 seconds, he had lit up. All of his body language had changed. You know, his face was brighter, much more open, you know, conversation. And it was because I hadn't been dismissive, but I also hadn't spent the time talking about myself. And the thing is, if you can ask the right questions, then eventually, you know, manners dictates that the person that you're talking to is ultimately going to ask you about you, because you've actually done a really good job of being interested in who they are. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the problem is that we don't work our networks before we need them often too. So we wait until we're desperate and we need all these connections and we need to make these sales to keep going. And then we break the relationship because we're too busy selling to people.
Exactly. And then you come in very disingenuous.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always check back in with my brain, say, how you doing? If they said, oh, my cat died, you know, I sent them a card. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about that emotional intelligence and building on that relationship capital. That's what people want right now. You know, it's that conversation. It's that 360. It's not just about me. Again, I keep saying it's about you. You talked about follow-up.
Yeah.
You know, folks are sloppy with the follow-up. Now, they are, you know, and that's a missed opportunity. Say, for example, all these people that you have in your Facebook connection, you got 5,000 people. But there you are casting a wide net trying to get some more sardines. Instead of making a connection with the people that you already have, they've liked you, they've loved you, they've met you at an event, they've met through, you know, the referrals and other people. It's very important that you follow up. And what is that follow-up about? Again, that follow-up doesn't have to necessarily be the close on the sale. It can just be, hey, you know, how you doing? But if it is the close on the sale, learn how to ask for the business. Some people do not ask for the business. And then if they ask for the business, they're afraid to ask to get paid for the business.
It's so true.
I know you're giggling, but I mean, am I telling the truth?
Absolutely. I think particularly often, not always, but often women, I think, struggle more to ask for the sale than men do. And it is a bit of a generalization, but it's been my experience is that we don't value ourselves as much as we could. And until you get over that and you actually start placing value on the services that you're providing or the help that you're providing, it becomes very hard to ask for the sale because we don't actually, internally, we don't trust that we deserve it. So we don't ask.
Well, it's, you know, it's awful because money is energy, brains.
Yeah.
It's nothing but a vehicle of exchange.
Yeah, exactly. Really,
and the more that you give, believe and trust, the more you will get. I'm a witness. You know, and it is meant to be recycled. It's meant to be used. There's no shame. There's no power. There's no influence. There's no control over some dirty pieces of paper with some old dead presidents or queens on them.
And you're gonna
let that run your life and dictate who you are. That's gonna make you a better person. That's gonna make you lie, cheat, and steal from somebody else. Not wanting to share your business, trying to hoard. You know, they say money is the root of all evil, but it's not. It's not the beholder. It's the beholder of the money, you know? Yeah. So let's talk about some fun stuff. I see you can make a mean cocktail from time to time. What you like to drink, girl?
I generally like to drink single malt whiskeys. So very good whiskey is my weakness. So we have 46 single malt whiskeys in the pub, and that's my fault.
Okay, Okay, but I mean, do you drink it straight up on the rocks? How are you doing that?
Yeah, so I drink it with 3 cubes of ice because it's very, like, it's good quality whiskey. Mm. So straight up is good. But if I'm going to have a cocktail, I usually drink a mojito. That's my favorite.
Yes. Oh, yes. I had a mojito. And let me tell you, that was the best mojito I ever had because I came to Australia. Yeah. Ellen DeGeneres, I won the trip. Oh, and yeah, we were down there in Sydney, right downstairs at the Opera House. Mm-hmm. Girl, and the bartender was as cute as he could be, and he put that mint in his hand, and he slapped it.
Yeah.
I had never seen you slap the mint like that, baby. It was a $20 mojito, but it was the best one I had ever had. It was really, really good. It was really good. I'm not so much of a whiskey drinker. It kind of burns when I go in. I'm kind of soft on that. So I need a chaser. You know, I'm soft. Yeah. I need some Coca-Cola or something like that. What do you like to eat? What are some of your favorite foods?
Sushi, mostly.
You got to come visit me. I could take you to some places. I love, they have good sushi there in Australia?
Yeah, we have amazing sushi. So we have a couple of great restaurants. There's this one on Goodwood Road called N. And we go there just because the owner, Takio, is just absolutely lovely. And he's the head sushi chef. So he makes it all right in front of you and it's all fresh. And that's what makes sushi the best, is if it's really fresh produce.
Yes, it's really fresh and you gotta know what you're doing. Yeah. So you say that you are the publican. So I'm under the impression that you are the spokesperson for this beautiful hotel. It is the Duke of Brunswick Hotel. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're a little bit strange for a pub. So when I took it over nearly 4 years ago, we pulled out all of the gambling and all of the TVs. There's no TVs in the pub. There's no poker machines or slot machines. And it's been built to be what a pub's meant to be, which is the hub of your local community. So our kitchen is 100% gluten-free. So if you've got celiac disease or gluten intolerance, you can come and eat anything off the menu. And we're Adelaide's only deaf-friendly hotel. So all of my front-of-house staff are trained in conversational Auslan, which is the sign language here in Australia.
Wow. Now, let me just stop right there. Why did you opt to do that?
Because I always wanted to learn. Oh. So I just figured if I was going to learn, then I might as well get all of my staff to learn as well.
Now, are there a lot of people, patrons that come in with hearing impairment?
Yeah, well, there are now because they know that the staff can engage with them in conversation. So it's just really nice for them to be able to speak in their first language rather than having to speak or communicate in another way.
That's wonderful.
It's great. And then the other thing that we did last year is I got all of the staff were trained in post-traumatic stress disorder triggers for returned veterans and assistance dog etiquette. So we're also a veteran-friendly hotel in that we actually understand what might be going on for a veteran if they're suffering from a panic attack or some anxiety-based issues and how we can support them as well.
Well, you have really, really covered the gamut. I've been to a restaurant here in San Diego that I absolutely love that's completely in the dark.
Oh, see, that would be amazing.
It is a trip. imagine when you have a nice steak and a fork, you got to be real careful. But it's just a whole different experience, completely eating in the dark. And so, again, you specializing in something for the hearing impaired, I think that that's just really, off the charts. It's very progressive and very tender. So thank you so much for that. What do you do for fun when you are not pouring yourself some whiskey or eating some sushi? What do you do for fun there?
So I lift really heavy things. So I do a lot of weight training and I still play Division 4 field hockey. So, so I play hockey on the weekends. And when I'm not doing those two things, I'm a bit strange. My favorite thing to do is to read business books in my spare time. So I think it's just Yeah, outside of that, I do a lot of hiking. So my house is right near a big conservation park. So I go hiking in the mountains a fair bit.
Yeah, you just moved there not too long ago.
Yeah, I do love it. It's amazing.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So tell me a little bit about, you have a son, right?
I have two sons, yeah, Hunter and Saxon. So Hunter just turned 14 on Friday.
Oh, wow.
And he did his first shift in the pub on Saturday. So he started work now. He's, what do you say, he's a self-proclaimed capitalist in terms of, like, now he's got his first paycheck. He's like, Mom, I can't believe I made $84 for, like, 5 hours work. I'm like, yeah, that's how that works.
I was saying it's so important to, you know, get the children involved in the business, teach them financial literacy, you know, showing them really what a good hard 5 hours is worth, how to take that, how to reinvest it and teach money how to work for you instead of you continuously working for it and being philanthropic. So, you know, at 14, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 5 years old. I've had my own business. I ain't playing. I was selling candy.
Yeah.
I used to take the whole candy thing and break it up and sell them a quarter a piece. Boy, I come home with a pocket full of money. And never stopped selling something ever since then. So tell me about your other son.
Oh, yeah. So Saxon is 11. And he is telling me that he plans to take over my business empire. You know, he goes, it's no good giving it to Hunter, but Mum, I'll run the pub for you and I'll take over B&I and I'll run that for you and I'll do this. So he's very business orientated. He likes to do a bit of wheeling and dealing. He's a bit of a negotiator. So they're both vastly entertaining and very strong personalities because I spent a lot of time teaching them to question everything and not just accept you know, an answer that's just because. So, you know, they'll ask me if I can do something. I'll say no. They'll say why. And then I have to give them an answer. That's the rule.
Exactly. So, and that's important. That's how they learn, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't want the world teaching them, especially when you are a vast resource. What would you tell a 25-year-old Simone?
I would say remember that life is a game of your choosing. So don't be handing the whistle over to somebody else to umpire it. I think, you know, we need to trust our gut more than we do and stop second guessing ourselves. Because I think if you can live unapologetically as yourself, so, you know, and I did this, you know, a couple of years ago, I decided I'd go 30 days being 100% unapologetically me. So it was really challenging. You know, what happened at the end of it was I started getting everything that I wanted because I was being honest about how I felt, what I thought, what I needed in order to be okay. And in doing that, the world opened up and started giving me what it was that I needed to support me. So be unapologetically you, because who you are is absolutely okay. And there's only one of you.
Right. Well, you know what? I didn't go that far because I don't think everybody can handle me being unapologetic. I'm giving it to you straight, baby. But yeah. I did go through a season of no. I just didn't do it. If it didn't feel right, immediately, if my intuition said, I say no, but I was able to accept a no as well. Yeah. And it really brought me into balance because I'm that person that always says yes. You know, oh, okay, you want to try this? Yeah. I'm a risk taker. But when you step back and you step into yourself and you say, you know what, let me analyze this a little bit closer. Let me see if this is really a good investment. Let me see if this is really a good use of my time. You know, it's like volunteering. I was big on, you know, anybody had an event. Oh, let's call April, you know, April volunteer. And Mr. Magnificent said, no, what you do is you give them 40 hours, 80 hours.
Yeah.
And then after you do that, because I became burnt out and then I became a little resentful and I'm saying to myself, here I am raising money, decorating, you know, yada, yada, doing all this. And I'm seeing the person that's hosting it just ticking off boxes. So it's just a balance. So I'm so glad that you are in that hospitality space because you are a trailblazer and you are innovative. I just love having you on here, Simone. You've given us so much, and I'm sure that we could talk for hours. Will you come back and visit me again on the Edge?
I'd be most happy to. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks, April.
Okay, I love you so much. And tell your mama that I said hi. And tell her I'm still trying to find a name for my dragon. But by the next time we go for a ride, I'll have one.
I'll let her know. You take care.
I will. Thank you, baby. Bye-bye.
Bye.
My brains. Oops. Forgot.